You're about to listen to a word of God through Pastor Lex. Pastor Lex operates in a teaching anointing that is assigned with the responsibility of training people for the gospel work. He is devoted to the advancement of the Lord's ongoing administration through soul winning, discipleship, and church planting for the turning of this evil age into the glorious age of the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and the manifestation of the heavenly New Jerusalem to delight the Father's heart and glorify the wisdom of His throne. Now, the message.
Yeah, let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We'll read from verse 4 to verse 18. John chapter 4 from verse 4 to verse 18. All right. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. The opportunity to enter into the realities that is in you. That by that we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That by that we'll be partakers of your living through your life, even of the divine nature. Thank you for your word, which has the water of God, the life of God, which cleanses and washes, which sanctifies and makes us different, just like you are. We receive the flow of this river, which is your life, through the channel of your word. Wash us, indeed, wash us. By your word, which is spirit, which is life. By your word, which is light, enlighten us. Flood our eyes with light. Anoint our eyes with your word, which is oil. With its medicinal value, which is able to restore perfect sight unto us. That which we had in you, we had with you, we had from you, even from the dawn of our existence. That we may see as we are to see. Amen. That by that light we may know as we are to know. Cause us to see you. Glorious Holy Spirit. We don't have power in ourselves to see. But it is your responsibility to lead us into all reality. To take that which is divine of God and show it to us. We thank you that you are so faithful to yourself, that you faithfully reach out to us, perform your responsibility of showing us that which belongs to the divine. We thank you that today too you shall be faithful. We thank you for your precious presence here, your glorious oneness with us. Holy Spirit, you are our God, and we love you and look up to you. Thank you for feeding us today, for pouring your love upon us. We bless you, our Lord Jesus. We bless you. Even for the blessing of your precious Holy Spirit. You said we shall receive power in the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, and we shall be witnesses unto you. in wherever we find ourselves, even unto the ends of the earth, in whichever part of the region allocated unto us for the economic function of standing as your witness. We thank you for this blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 4, from verse 4 to verse 18. And he must needs go through Samaria. That's talking about Jesus. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Please put them together. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you have now is not your husband. In that said thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Praise the Lord. In this situation, it's a record of the encounter Jesus had with a woman. A woman who stands to be a perfect representation of every human being who is part of the human race, especially in time. And this woman had a need in life that she was trying to satisfy her own way. How many of you have needs, have desires, have wants? Okay, some of you have turned into cowboys. You don't have needs, you don't have desires, you don't have wants. Anyway. So in that sense, you are like this woman. Yeah, we have emotional needs, you know. We have needs that pertains to our body. Protection, right? From sicknesses, hurts, diseases, security. We have needs that pertains to the inner part of us, our soul. Emotional needs, psychological needs, isn't it so? Comfort, right? Peace. A psychological need, right? Understanding. And then we have spiritual needs. Yeah. We have great spiritual needs. So like this woman, we all have needs that we seek to satisfy. But one thing about this woman is that she was trying to satisfy the need through marriage. She felt that if she could marry, she could get the needs, the things she was craving for, met. And our master, skillful teacher, as skillful as he is, Jesus Christ, chose this as the perfect example to represent the situation of everyone. Everyone will find him or herself in this woman. And the truth is that almost 120% of human beings think that they can find satisfaction in marriage. And that the idea seems not even to be wrong. The thought of it, right? Seems not even to be wrong. Our psychological, emotional, spiritual, physical needs being met in the context of marriage and family. It seems not to be wrong, right? Yeah. Because the Lord himself is the one who established such. But the truth is that Jesus Christ admits that it is the wrong place to look for satisfaction. Yes. But interestingly, it's the place, ultimate place all of us look at and look for. And if we can squeeze the last juice out of family and marriage to give us satisfaction, we will. It's like we so much believe it is there. We are desperately shaking it out, turning its pocket inside out to find it. Some of you are sitting here, you are hoping that if I marry, when I marry, after you marry, if I have a child, when I have a child. Jesus Christ has told you before, you'll be greatly dissatisfied and you'll be disappointed. But there is something about human nature that is so persuaded that there is something in marriage which is for their satisfaction so much that if even it would take 7 men to find it, they will try again and try again and try again and try again. Isn't it so? Yeah. If our idea is that it is in a man or a woman and we don't get it, our idea is that it is in the institution of marriage. So no matter what, I'll be in the institution again and again. And he says that this woman had married what? He had been with what? How many? 5 husbands. This woman was not a prostitute. That's what they taught you in Sunday school. If this man was a prostitute, Jesus would not use the word husband. Listen, if you have been in Sunday school, which was offered to you in Ghana, please go and read your Bible again from Genesis to Revelation. You see, you read this verse in church, but you didn't realize. So to you, the woman was a prostitute, a harlot. No. Come again. She was what? A gamantious. No, she was trying to do life the best way she could. No, just that she has seen many divorce. And there was a stigma with it. But she had husbands. It didn't say you have been with 5 men. It says you have been with 5 husbands. And the thing is that the one you are now with is the one who is not your husband. But they told you in Sunday school, "Ani mema dasa dabi." Is the last one, the one upon which she met Jesus. Uh-huh. So we set the record straight, right? So let's proceed. So Jesus came to her as the good shepherd that he is to meet her need, because she had set herself on a course that would never lead to satisfaction. So Jesus came to reroute her. Say reroute.
Reroute.
Yeah. It's like digging for a bone in your bathroom. No matter how much you dig, you never find a bone. So already you are set on the wrong course, which will never meet your need or your expectation. So if there is any hope of finding a bone, then you have to be rerouted. You have to be redirected. You have to be rightly placed. Yeah, in a location where you can find a bone. And that's what Jesus did. There's nothing wrong with seeking for satisfaction in life. Not at all. There's nothing wrong in seeking for comfort in life. striving to get your physiological needs met. Physical protection, physical warmth, physical comfort, physical security, you know, emotional satisfaction, emotional support, right? The mental peace. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. To do your best, to strive as much as you can to meet all these. The only thing that needs to be corrected, as the Lord Jesus Christ did, is where you are seeking for that from. So Jesus came and he decided to reroute her by using that which relates to what she's pursuing in her environment. And it happened to be a well. So Jesus knew that she would come to the well. So Jesus went there to wait for her. Jesus sat by the well. And when she came, Jesus said, give me water to drink. Satisfy me. You know, thirst represents dissatisfaction. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thirst represents dissatisfaction. When you are thirsty, are you satisfied?
No.
You are dissatisfied. It is when you drink enough water, then you say, I am satisfied. Even when one cup more is being given to you, you say, I am satisfied. Yeah. So the thirst in this context represents dissatisfaction. So Jesus came and said that, give me water to drink. Satisfy me. And then the woman said, who are you to ask me for water? Who are you to ask me to satisfy you? You know? How you, a Jew, ask for me, a Samaritan, to satisfy you? Because we have no dealings. Then Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and the one who asked you, give me to drink, you would ask him and he will give you the living water. Are you following the conversation?
Yeah.
The one Jesus is having with the lady.
Yeah.
Actually, the lady had no satisfaction to offer Jesus. The lady knew it. Her resume told her, her CV told her. Because if she had satisfaction to offer, she didn't have married what? 5 different men who are all not around. You are not a woman, that's why I don't understand. But the women understand that if even they have a boyfriend and the boyfriend says, I want to break up with you, you can swear to the woman, it means I couldn't satisfy him. That's why they ask, so what did I do wrong? You understand we are breaking up, but just tell me, what did I do wrong? And when they see you with another woman, then they call you and ask, me, I'm okay. I want you to know I'm okay. I've gotten over it, but I want to know, what is it that I didn't have that the other? Yeah. So the woman understood. I have no satisfaction to offer. I've failed. And you, even my own Samaritans, I couldn't satisfy them. And you, a Jew, we don't have dealings. You're asking me to offer you satisfaction. Then Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and you knew the one who is asking you for satisfaction, you rather ask him to satisfy you. To give you what? The living water. The living water is that which satisfies thirst. To satisfy you. John 14, the subject there is about satisfaction. And that which satisfies. And what is that then that Jesus subscribed, prescribed, presented to the woman? To be that thing which can satisfy her. Said what? The living water. He said, if you knew the gift of God, number one, and he who asks you, satisfy me, you rather ask him, give me the living water. So the gift of God and Jesus Christ are not the same. You realize? He said, if you knew the gift of God and the one who says to you, give me to drink, you will say to him, give me the living water, that I may not come here to draw again. For he who drinks this water, Jacob's well, shall thirst again. It means it doesn't satisfy in the long run. It may give you some sense of satisfaction, but it's fleeting, it's deception. But you wake up and realize that you weren't satisfied actually. Oh, just treat the symptoms of dissatisfaction. You know, symptoms. When you have a condition in your body and it's not uprooted, but that condition makes you feel hot, it makes you sweat. Sometimes, if you don't have a good doctor, he can give you medication that treats the symptoms. So you see that the sweating may stop, the feeling hot may stop, but the root cause is still there in your body. Anything outside that which Jesus Christ gives, which is the true satisfaction of every heart, at best, can deceive you by taking your attention off the signs and symptoms of your dissatisfaction, the restlessness, the emptiness. But even that, not for long. When the sun sets, and after the darkness flees away at the presence of light again, you realize that you are still empty. You realize that you are still weak. You realize that the symptoms are back to tell you, to inform you, to give you very meaningful data that registers even in the chemical system of your body that you are indeed dissatisfied. So you test again. But Jesus said, he who drinks the water that I give him, he shall never test. That which truly satisfies. And what is that water? When we read John chapter 7, even in Isaiah, it's prophesied that I shall pour upon the dry ground of my spirit. I shall pour rivers. Even from the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is represented as water. But in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, Jesus Christ said, he who is thirsty, let him come and drink. He who is dissatisfied, let him come and drink. He who recognizes that he has a need, a want in life, let him come and receive satisfaction. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. For as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And then he says, this speak he of the Spirit, which they who are to believe in him are to what? Receive. So in that context, the river, the water that we are to drink from Jesus in our pursuit of seeking for satisfaction, isn't it so? To quench our thirst, to deal with the dissatisfaction is what? Is what? I can't hear you. Are we all together?
Yes.
Are we all together?
Yes.
Are we all here in one place?
Yes.
Do you have one mind to listen to the word of God?
Yes.
Or there is someone who doesn't want to be here? Who went to the football park not to watch football but to eat like he's in a restaurant? So who came here not to listen to the word of God but to do what he or she wants to be against us? Are we all here?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's very good. So the water he's speaking about is who?
Holy Spirit.
Have you all seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit
is the river of water of life.
The Holy Spirit
is the living water
that Jesus offers
to quench my thirst. So what I'm trying to help you to realize is that he who knows all things, Jesus Christ, who even knew how you would be saved when you had no idea that you were even lost, is telling you that the satisfaction you are really looking for is the Holy Spirit. This is an information you don't know. Just like you didn't know how you will be saved. So it is news to you. It's new to you. And it should be news to you. It's a discovery. It's a treasure. Alright? It is knowledge. It is wisdom. The satisfaction, every human being is looking for satisfaction. But unknown to them, the satisfaction they are looking for is the Holy Spirit. This morning I came to tell you that that thing your heart is longing for, you may not know how to name it, but you know that you have a longing in your heart. You have a need in your heart. You have a want in your heart. That thing is actually the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, it's true. The satisfaction you are looking for is not to be successful. No. It's not a job. You are deceived. And you see, you have to be a skillful spiritual person. A very skillful spiritual person. Otherwise, you'll be deceived even with what is good. And you may not know. Like a couple of weeks in this year, because our emphasis is on being effective witnesses, I've been talking to you about taking your career life seriously, because God has built a site that it has great potential to reach more people for him than the pulpit can ever do. And we did a 1-week program of people sharing their plan or their vision or their goals or strategy or whatever in how to climb up in their career or strategize with their career to reach more people for God. It's a good thing, right?
Yes.
But that's why I'm your pastor, let me tell you. When some of you saw those videos, you see, the flesh rose up in your heart and the flesh responded. But you may think you are still spiritual because you heard it from pastor. And we should all strive to be the best in our career. So when you saw that video, you said, "Kai, me too. I'll work in a more powerful place. I'll work in, where I'll work, it will be all glass. Glass and kwa. Glass and kwa. No, I'll work in a place more powerful than where this person is working." And when you saw the video, you were, look at where me I'm working. It's sad. I don't even have a desk. Look at this video. Look at what they are showing. You see, that is the flesh. So before I realized, you too, why you are beti, den, say koto, koto beti. Say, you too, you show yourself. You show, it is no more God. It's no more godly. That's why I'm your pastor, I'm telling you. You are not following the path. You've gone off. It's carnality, it's the flesh. You must be careful. You must be a skillful spiritual person. All that I've said doesn't change. All that we are doing doesn't change. But it is the intention. It is the intention. It is what?
The intention.
Even the intention changes, forget. You can have a limousine with a special driver. Yes. Excuse me to say, if even you want to use the washroom, there is someone who gives you a tea roll. You may think you are so successful, but no, you can do it to some people, not some people. No, because you see, do you know the son of man? What is the son of man? When we say man fell, what do we mean? Let me tell you here now. When we say man fell, it's not because man ate an apple. How can just eating an apple lead to a very serious consequence that would take the life of God to remedy? All because we ate an apple. Is it not like you just drank water and you got HIV/AIDS? I don't know if you get me. Yeah. The apple is the act, but every act communicates something, or it is from an understanding. So this is the real sin. It is that man made himself the chief end of his existence. That is the sin. man made himself the chief end of his existence. If you understand that, some of you have been eating apples every day. Praise the Lord. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Then give a mighty clap. Let me feel that you are with me. All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to get your response that you are with me. All right. So that's the Son of Man. Now, any time you are in anything, this is the rule. If you want to be a spiritual man, this life is simple. Walk with God is simple. Spirituality is simple. It's never complicated. God's yes is his yes. His no is his no. That is what makes walking with God simple. Yea is yea, nay is nay. If he says concerning this, I am blue, there is no way you can turn and change your feeling and come, and because of that, he's no more blue. Then the man is not simple to deal with. He's so simple. If he's blue, he's blue. You can kill yourself, he's still blue. Alright? He's yeah, he's yeah, he's nay, he's nay. So stick to that. Anytime, anything you are doing, that the chief goal is not God, it's sin. Anytime you change the chief goal of your existence to be something else but God, is sin. Like this preaching. You think preaching and mentioning the name of Jesus Christ is there? Eh, papa me boy. Isn't it so?
Yeah.
So there's no way this thing can be sin. But if the reason why I'm doing this is not God, the chief end is not God, can be anything. You don't need to know whatever anything it has to be to know if it's sin or not. You just need to know if it is not for God, but anything, it is sin. That's why he says, it is those who does the will of my Father who will enter into the kingdom prepared for man from the foundation of the earth. Say, God is the goal of my life.
He is
the chief end of my existence. Yeah. So anything you are doing, you are schooling. But the schooling you are in, the chief end is not God, it is sin. Yeah. The dress you are wearing, how good you want to look, if the chief end is not God, it is sin. That is all that he has brought his messengers to tell you. That whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Make God the chief end of anything you do. If you forgive a brother, let it be because of God. Right? If you let things go, let it be because of God. If you don't answer back, let it be because of God. Men may say you are a fool, you are not smart. Let it be because of God. If it is because of God, you are a holy man. Understand this, and it's not everything you insist on an explanation. It's not everything you will explain yourself. You see, you get a thing. So if God says, my son, get up, go Afghanistan and die there, preach the gospel in front of the mosque, this is how you die, he gives you a vision of it and die there. No, if you understand this, it makes suffering for God easy. Like, how is it difficult? If God says tomorrow I should go and die, why is it difficult for me? No. I'm not pretending. No. I don't have to work myself to no, babe, no. It's you I pity. I was sold long ago through these thoughts. He communicated. No. To die tomorrow. All that I need to know, it is his will that I should die. No. No, I would die without feeling pain. Oh, I tell you the truth in the Holy Spirit. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. No, I don't need effort. I don't need to try. Because, you see, you have disciplined yourself in the reality that everything should be, your existence is what? For him. The chief end of your existence is him. What again? You see how simple life already is? That's all. If you understand this principle, waiting on God to hear what is His will never be laborious for you. All men have started. All men are going. But you are still waiting on something. You won't say Wakichri. Because you know the chief end of your existence is what? God. So you can't do anything without Him, and you can't do anything ahead of Him, and you can't do anything for yourself and by yourself. That does it. If He says tomorrow, close down this church, I won't think about what people think. Yeah, I started a church, then I close it down. Is it your business? No, I don't know if you get me. No. How? Like how? It's easy. Say it's easy.
It's easy.
That's it. The most important thing is it God? Is it the will of God? Is it unto God? That's that all God wants. That's all. Betiasia. Betimao. Semi wo. Pick the key. May this song become the theme of your life. Let's sing it. That's the reality. It's for God. If it's for God, God is fine. This is what God wants. Okay. You can be like Job and you are okay. You can be like Solomon and you are okay. You can lose all things like Job and you are okay. You can have all things like Solomon and you are okay. Because your understanding is that this is what He wants for me. So what I am existing in now, He is the reason I am okay. That is what it means to suffer for God. That is what the sufferings of the cross is. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm just laughing because it looks like I'm coming to a place where I can't escape the message I was sent to the earth with. Because it looks like it just keeps coming up by itself. Even at a model marriage seminar, then the cross will come in. But the reality is this. When you say that you are suffering for God, what does it mean? Let me give you a definition that will help you to understand. To suffer for God doesn't mean to suffer for something wrong you did. You did something wrong. Now it comes with suffering. God has allowed it. That's not suffering for God. To suffer for God is to suffer not because you did something wrong. To suffer for God is to suffer because God did something right. They don't get it. Orakosa mirosa vila vahaikos. Rakifa fala stu kaman wadis. To suffer for God is not to suffer because you did something wrong. It is to suffer because God did something right. God did something right. And one of the consequences is that you have to suffer for the right He did. That's suffering for God. When it comes to suffering for God, it doesn't start with you. That you did something. No, when it comes to something for God, it starts with God and it ends with Him. He did something. He can intentionally take a governmental action that will bring suffering on your life. That's what suffering for God is. Oh, the book of Peter tells us that Jesus Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we may follow in His footsteps. So the pattern of our suffering is the suffering of Jesus Christ. And what is the first pillar of the pattern of the suffering of Jesus Christ? Well, the book of Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Lord has poured upon Him what? The iniquity, the sin of us all. It is an intentional, deliberate, governmental action Jesus Christ took and brought suffering on. The Father took and brought suffering on Jesus. That is what suffering for God means. When you suffer as a result of an intentional governmental action Jesus Christ took. Sorry, the Father took. So for example, if the Father decides that you go as a missionary to Madagascar and go to a village in Madagascar as a missionary, and that village has no light, that village is full of mosquitoes, that village has bandits, they hate Christians. And if you go there after 3 years, they will kill you. You see, as you go there, you will suffer malaria and other things. You are going to suffer because of a governmental decision, an intentional governmental decision the Father took, that you, I appoint you as a missionary to Madagascar. So you are suffering for an action the Father took. And that action is a good action. It brings the gospel into the darkness in Madagascar. So you are suffering for a good the Father did. That's what suffering for God is. Now you understand it better. To help some of you, if you go and marry the wrong man or you get a wrong boyfriend and you are suffering, don't say that's me Brahmayame. That decision didn't begin with God. Hallelujah.
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 If God tells you how to live a modest life, never show flashiness. Oh yes, God says such things. Never show flashiness. Never. He gives you some strict terms in your covenant with Him in your vocation. So you live a simple life. You don't look flashy. Even the car you use, the modest one. And people begin to insult you. Look at him. All the things he did. So he left this profession just for this work of God. Look at his car. Look at him. He hasn't amounted to anything. So you are suffering shame and scorn. And you are being belittled, but you are suffering for an action the Father took. Do you understand the difference? But if you don't take your work life seriously, you don't take your planning, budgeting, and expenditure seriously, and you are hard, and you can't afford the best, and you are affording crumbs, and people are belittling you and insulting you, don't say that I'm suffering for Christ. It's different. Glory to God. Yeah. So listen, it is for God. If the end of it is not God, it's sin. It can be the same thing, but the ends can be different for different people. So you should understand at this church, I'm not impressed by a lot of things. No, you must know me well. I look at the intention. And your intention today may be God, but tomorrow it might have deviated. Oh, and by God's grace, I can see some things. By God's grace, what we are, we are. What we are not, we strive to be. You can't fool me with some things, and that's why you have to be careful, because human beings know how to heal you, and your heart will shift. That's what caused Saul. God said he's a good man, but later, because the chief end changed, because he was successful. Saul has killed his what? Thousands. He said that he stood tall amongst all men. But it has shifted. When they hail you at the workplace, you had an award this year. The best one. Customer service personnel. People are saying you are this, you are that. Immediately they do that. Remember the picture of Moses. Lie on the floor and say, God is all unto you. Oh, that's the truth. Your heart can turn. You will not know. You will know it later when you have gone 100 meters per hour for about 5 years. And it's shifted, then you look back and at that point it's so hard for you to turn it back. So quickly, always do heart therapy before God every time. That one, no matter what, You cast money at your feet, and you can cast money at the feet of people in the house of God. And you will never find an iota of self-identity in those things. Never. Immediately you find some sense of self-identity in those, your heart has started shifting. It's deceptive. Me, I'm your pastor. I know I'm standing to say this. Those who have ears, let them listen. Because you see, the danger in this is that when you think you can derive satisfaction from other things apart from that Holy Spirit, Jesus knows, is the satisfaction you need. Now you have replaced him. Your relationship with him is that which will begin to suffer. Because as we go on, you realize that as for him, one thing he doesn't know how to do is to be a rival. The Holy Spirit doesn't know how to do that. So back to our introduction. Say, the Holy Spirit is the satisfaction I'm looking for.
The Holy Spirit is the satisfaction I am looking for.
Yeah. What you are craving for, what you are longing for, what you are wishing for. You see, I like a certain kind of house. Call it my dream house. Even the walkway to the house itself. You know those ancient houses, long with trees, palm trees here. Those are the houses I like. But you see, that picture, that image is just an expression of a deep longing in my heart, which represents a satisfaction in the Holy Spirit for me. That's what you have to understand. Every longing, every dream, every desire in your heart, that you found something that has existed before to identify with that, to say that that is what you want, is just an indication of a satisfaction in the Holy Spirit you really want. Because what Jesus is telling us is what you, the satisfaction you are looking for in marriage, that satisfaction is actually the Holy Spirit. The satisfaction you are looking for in work, that satisfaction is actually the Holy Spirit. Because whatever you want, it can only be found in the Holy Spirit. The acceptance you want can only be found in the Holy Spirit. The honor you want, it can only be found in the Holy Spirit. The understanding you want, it can only be found in the Holy Spirit. The attention you want, the hearing you want, it can only be found in the Holy Spirit. That you'll be known, you'll be understood, it can only be met in the Holy Spirit. That you'll be loved, it can only be satisfied, it can only be met by the Holy Spirit. One of the things Jesus Christ came to persuade us to believe, that the Holy Spirit is the longing of our heart. That's what we are looking for. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. He is our satisfaction, because we were made for him. That's why he is our satisfaction. Because we were made for him. Do you know you were made for the Holy Spirit? Oh yes, you were made for him. How many of you have had secret admirers before? Yeah. And you realize at the end of the day, you knew your secret admirer, right? There's one secret admirer I think you haven't known yet. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. He has been your secret admirer. To him, it's not secret, but you don't know him. That's why he's a secret admirer. That's why he's a secret lover. You were made for him. You don't know that. He's your secret owner. Because you don't know you were made for him. That's why he's your secret owner. Your life was made for him. Do you understand what it means that you were made for the Holy Spirit? Let me try to explain to you. You see, kolai kopakandosta. You were made for him. Number one, he is the reason why you came into existence. He necessitated your existence. He caused your existence. His need, his want of you, caused you to be. Now listen, how many of you have kinky in your house as we sit here? You are a gun, that's why. Me. But those of you who have kinkies in your house, kenke does not exist in your house as you sit here, right? But if by the end of the day there will be kenke in your house, it is your need or your wants is what will cause the kenke to exist in your house, isn't it so? You say that I want to eat kenke, or I desire for kenke. So your want or your desire will cause necessary actions to be taken. Either you do kenke from scratch, like Enoch's mother does. Your mother does it like that. Or you go and buy kenke and bring it to your house. Now kenke exists in your house. What caused the existence of kenke, which wasn't before then, to be in your house, is your need, is your want, is you. We weren't in the beginning satisfied, decided. I want man. I want a being. I crave for a being. I desire a being. And this is the reason why. So that I will be one with that being. I want to be one with something. I want to be one with something apart from me. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. All one in each other. So Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I in the Father in me. But I want to be one with something apart from me. I want to be one with a created being. I want to indwell that created being. So you see, that's what caused our existence. So the Father wanted a family that he could love, that he could govern, he could steward, that he will pour all of himself on, and they will enjoy all that he is. For that is what sons and daughters are to a father. Enjoy all that the Father is. So the Father wanted a family. So he created us that will be his family. That's where he says the Father, by whom the whole family in heaven and on earth are named. So when it comes to the Father, it's the family. The Son, he wanted a bride. A bride, what's the meaning of a bride? A bride is one who is most intimate with you. The one you marry is the only one who sleeps in the same bedroom with you as you are. There are some things he sees, no one sees. He knows, no one knows. She can tell all the different colors of boxer shorts you've ever worn. No one else can. No matter how much you work with your secretary in the office, she can't. So closest, isn't it so? Yeah. That is what a bride represents. So it doesn't mean we are going to marry Jesus and we'll have children. It means among all his creatures, we'll be the most intimate with him. We'll know all that he is. So the Son also wanted someone like that. He wanted a bride. And the Spirit wanted a temple. That's why you see, for the Son, he says that he died for us. He purchased us, that he may cleanse us and present us unto himself, what? A chaste, a glorious bride. So the Father is related to the family. The Son is related to what? The bride. That's what he wants. So what the Father wants from you is to be a family. Is to enjoy all that he is, his riches. That's why he said, when we pray, we should say, our Father who art in heaven. That is why Jesus told the story when the prodigal son left. He came back. The Father gave him the best robe and a ring and killed the fattest calf. A Father, my house is your house. Enjoy all that I am. That's why he says, all things are ours. He is our Father. We enjoy his mercy. We enjoy his grace. We enjoy his goodness. We enjoy his kindness. We enjoy his justice. We enjoy his resources. The cattle upon a thousand hills are his. He will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. We enjoy him. He rejoices over us with joy. We sing and we enjoy him. He's a father. And for the Son, we are bride. We are the closest to him. The closest to him. Kalo. Kaki kafa veluma akokunla radusa pekeste. But the emphasis is on the Spirit today. And for the Spirit is looking for a temple. That's what the Bible says. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are not your own. We are his temple. He was looking for a place he would dwell, a habitation. Now when we talk about a temple, I understand it's not after the human concept, the natural concept. For we are in this habitation, right? So we are dwelling here. This is a limited understanding of dwelling. Yes. When we talk about dwelling according to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit calls his dwelling place, is organic, is living. What it means is that when he dwells in a place, he takes over the place. His character characterizes the place. Your character is not characterizing this place. Your shirt is white. The wall is still cream. So nothing about you has taken over this place. But you are dwelling here. Yeah. You see? But for the Holy Spirit, it's different. When he says he's dwelling in a place, he takes over the place. He characterizes the place. And the whole place expresses his character. He becomes one with the place. We are not one with the wall. But for the Holy Spirit. So if we say you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, what it means is that now the Holy Spirit possesses you. You become Holy Spirit possessed. You become possessed by the Holy Spirit. Such that now you are pneumatized. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. You are pneumatized. So you become a pneumatic human being. What it means is that the Holy Spirit possesses you and becomes one with you so much that every fiber of your being is conditioned by he being in you. That is what caused your existence. Kola ikoma kapole. Ranuza ra ikipa asto fehekes. So the Holy Spirit should not be a stranger to you. Not at all. It should be the being you know more than anyone. Oh yes, it's true. What I'm telling you is true. You should even know him more than Jesus Christ. It's true, because if you don't know him, you can't know Christ. It's true. Today he will cease to be your secret admirer. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. As you are hearing this word, be praying, Holy Spirit, show yourself to me. Be praying, Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I came to create an appetite and set a direction, a reality, a realization, point a direction available to you. You have to go on that journey. You are his longing, his long dream that caused him to cause you to be. So you are actually a dream of the Spirit. Look at yourself. Touch your skin. And you say, I'm a dream of the Spirit.
I'm a craving of the Spirit.
Now there's no pizza in our house today. But maybe by the time we finish, I'll like pizza. And because of that, I will take steps to order pizza and pizza will be in my house. If pizza happens to be in my house and I look at the pizza, what I'll be looking at is my craving. Say, you are my craving. Isn't it so? You are my desire. You are my appetite. Yeah. Look, when you look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow, that's what you should tell yourself. I'm the appetite of the Holy Spirit. I'm the desire of the Holy Spirit. I'm the want of the Holy Spirit. I'm the voluntary need of the Holy Spirit. By voluntary need, I mean a need. He intentionally made you a need. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is coming home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has never been distant. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. Among the Godhead, is the easiest one, is the one that is easiest to know. Believe these things. They are true. Some of you think it's easy to know Jesus than the Holy Spirit. It's easy to know the Holy Spirit than Jesus. No one comes to the Father through Jesus Christ, but no one comes to Jesus Christ through. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. But no one comes to Jesus Christ but by the Holy Spirit. The journey begins in the Holy Spirit. And I came to tell you, he has a strong craving for you. A craving for you that predated your existence, that caused your existence. Now listen. I made the Holy Spirit cause you to understand these words. If his craving for you is the one that caused your existence, how can your existence cause him to change his mind about you? So you see, now, Linda, look at the boy. He's spoiling the shirt. So you see now, he made you just like him. That's the second reason. You are the reason why he's the reason why you exist. That's what I'm still talking about. So the first point is desire, want, need. The second point, he made you just like him. Just like him. Some of you think the Holy Spirit is an influence, it's a force, it's an immaterial. No. You are just like the Holy Spirit. Or I should use Holy Ghost. Maybe I should use Holy Ghost. You are used to the Holy Ghost than Holy Spirit. Yeah. You are just like the Holy Ghost. Yes. Obviously, that word now is connecting. You are just like the Holy Ghost. See, so the Holy Ghost wanted to indwell you. So what happened is that now, if you want a house to dwell in, you build a house according to a specification, isn't it so? You build a house according to a specification, right? According to your need. I'll need this number of rooms. I'll need another room here for this. I'll need a washroom here. I'll need the stairs here. I'll need, it's for your it's built to your specification so that you can live in. If we want a place for our hand to dwell, the doctors, when they are performing operation, a place for their hand to habit, so they perform the operation, we call it what? A glove, right? So to make that glove, it is built to the specification of their hands. So the glove looks like their hands. So the fact that the Holy Spirit wants you as his habitation made it necessary that you will be made just like him. That you'll be built to his specification. So that he will possess you and express himself through you. You'll be Holy Spirit possessed. We are beings intended to be Holy Spirit what? Possessed. We are vessels to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. That's why he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the Holy Spirit. The vessels is we, our body. The book of Zechariah says, the Lord who stretched the heavens, who had laid the foundations of the earth and created the spirit of man. Three things. The heavens is a habitation for birds and for some fallen spirits. The earth is a habitation for fowls, for cattle, and for man. What is the spirit doing in this set? Because the spirit of man is also a habitation, and it is for the spirit of God. So he built you to his specification. So you are his specs. You are a Holy Ghost spec. You are just like him. So if the Holy Spirit has emotions, that is why you have emotions. So that his emotions can flow in your emotion, which is just a vessel. If the Holy Spirit has eyes, that's why you too, you have to have eyes. Glory to God. So it tells you the Holy Spirit is a person. Because he's a person, you're a person. If he wasn't a person, you wouldn't be a person. Because you are made just like him. He is a person. He can teach, right? He can pray. He can talk. He makes intercession for us. Isn't it so? The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Isn't it so? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He has emotions. He can be sad. So you see that he is a person. He can talk. He says, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days. So he's a person. Say, the Holy Spirit is a person.
The Holy Spirit is a person.
And you are made in his image. So the Holy Spirit looks just like you. But just that he doesn't have the kind of body you have. He's spirit. His form is like your form. He has legs. He has hands. Yeah, that's the form. No, but how did Jesus call the Holy Spirit? Jesus called the Holy Spirit another Jesus. So if you are struggling with who is the Holy Spirit, just call him another Jesus. He said, when the Comforter is come, I will send you another Comforter. He means now there is a first Comforter. That is Jesus. And he's sending you another Comforter. And the word another from the Greek means one of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit is another Jesus. Just like Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So you were made for him. You look just like him. Your form. You were made in the very form you are to satisfy him. Because he wanted to be one with you. He wanted to be one with you. That's why the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is made one spirit. One spirit. That has been his dream, to be one spirit with you. You know what it means to be one spirit? Gary Sokis. Yeah. You have the Gary, you have the sugar, right? You have the milk, then you pour the water, then you stir. So now the milk and the sugar is in the water. They are all mixed. But the Gary is Gary in the water. The milk is the milk in the water. But when you fetch all together. There's no way you can separate it anymore. Distillation is not possible. So when you fetch one teaspoon, it contains Gary, it contains water, it contains sugar, it contains milk. But the elements are still there. So you are made one with the Holy Spirit, like the Gary Sokis. It's a mingling. You are still man in him. He is still God in you. But now, when we are talking about you, we can't talk about you, but in terms of the Holy Spirit. No, these are the realities you have to accept. Wouldn't it be that way? It's true. No, there is no one so close to you like the Holy Spirit. So you have natural kinship with him. You have natural affinity with him. You're already like him. So it's not striving to imagine someone and striving to get close to him. No. This is where you start from. Alright, forget the gimmicks of religion. I'm telling you the truth. He's the easiest person to know in all of existence. The person you look like exactly is the Holy Spirit. So whom do you think you can be so close to? It's the Holy Spirit. No one can understand you but the Holy Spirit. Because you are not like anyone but the Holy Spirit. You are wired like him, so he understands your wiring. So no one can explain you to you but him. He's one with you. That's why you existed. It is because of this that demons possess men. Yes. You know, whatever the devil does is to hurt God, is to frustrate the plans of God. Because the plan of God is that he will possess man. Man will be his temple and he'll be one with man. When the devil and his demons lost their place, they fell from their place. Now they wanted to come against the plans of God. And one of the ways to do it is that what the Holy Spirit wants to possess, now they will possess those things. So what the Holy Spirit will possess to honor, glorify, and express himself through, they will possess and defile and express themselves through. So you see that there is this man, there is this woman, this girl or this boy is afraid, is not strong, cannot even carry one bag of cement. But during deliverance sessions or demonic manifestations, even 10 men who go to the gym cannot hold this girl down. It's not the girl, but it's the girl. But it's not the girl, but it's the girl. But it's the girl, but it's not the girl. But it's the girl and it's not the girl. The girl has become one with someone. That someone is invisible. That demon. So now the strength of the demon is gaining expression through this girl. So they copied the plan of God and just to destroy it. Because the Holy Spirit cannot be a rival. Jesus can try. He, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't know how to do that. So bet you cry. His jealousy is on another level. Obunuhu too much. The Holy Spirit is the honor of God. He's the glory of God. He can't do that. So when you give your heart to another spirit to possess you, he can't be, he can't. He can only fight from outside till he kicks that spirit out before he comes in. It doesn't mean he gives up on you, but he can't cohabit with a rival. That's what I mean. Because either he's in charge or he's not there. Yeah. So demons who possess this girl express their strength in the girl, express their abilities in the girl, before they realize this girl in the book of Acts was prophesying. You remember? The demons in her. That is the original intention of the Holy Spirit. So you are to live expressing the abilities of the Holy Spirit. If you have any ability, it is from the Holy Spirit. If you have any expression, it is from the Holy Spirit. Are we understanding it? Yeah. Yeah. So seeing in the Spirit is your normal, natural default, natural state. You see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's normal. There's nothing special. If we understand our origin and the need for our existence and all that, it's normal. If it doesn't happen like that, then something is wrong. Then you have to fight, whether through fasting, through prayer, through cleansing, through changing your lifestyle, till it becomes your normal expression. Every human being here who calls on the name of Christ must have the capacity and ability to see. Such that when God wants you to see, you can see. Not such that when you want to see, you can see. No. You can't control the Holy Spirit. It is his eyes. It is his seeing. Can you control him? He is a king. Even you, your president, can't control him. The fuel price, what has been done? And you come to control the Holy Spirit. That's why it says the gift of the Spirit is subject to the Spirit. But the fact that when he wants you to see, you can see. That's what we are talking about. So if you're a believer here and you haven't entered into that threshold yet, don't sleep till you do. He wants you to. That's what it means to be one with him. He wants you to. But that ability is there, just that you are distracted. You are one spirit with him is not a cliche. It's real. If it's not true, then you are not saved. It's as real as your sins are forgiven. But is that we are distracted. We are so distracted by other emotions, by other thoughts, you know, by other attractions, such that when he's even happy in us, we don't feel it. We say we are sad, we are depressed. Then we say, why should I be happy? What has happened that I should be happy? But he's happy in you. Why shouldn't you be happy? The kind of joy is in you. Why shouldn't you be happy? So we have to be reprogrammed into the Holy Spirit. We have to be reprogrammed into the Holy Spirit life and make him the ultimate reason for anything. You are getting what I'm saying? For anything. He's the ultimate reason. He's what? The ultimate reason. Yes. Yes. That is why he said, cast out devils, because that one is an affront to his plan. You are Holy Spirit worthy. That's how he made you, to indwell you and express himself through you, not for anyone, not for anything. He's our treasure. You are his treasure. He so much craves to be one with you and be in you. You have no idea. So much. So much. You see, when we say the Holy Spirit is invisible, he cannot be seen, it doesn't mean he's a wind. You know, angels are persons, right? Yeah, they have a will, they can talk, all that. But they cannot be seen with the naked eyes. Yeah, but they are persons. So because you can't see the Holy Spirit doesn't mean he's not a person. He relates to you as a person. But you don't need to see him before you realize that he's a person. When you are talking on the phone with someone, do you see the person? But you connect, right? Yeah. You relate, right? Yeah. Yeah. When you are eating food, do you see the vitamin C in the food? Do you see the zinc in the food? Baby, you eat them. So we shouldn't let invisibility prevent us from what? Experience. We can't see him, but he's there. We can experience him. Can still talk. Can still hold hands. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Say, the Holy Spirit wants me. Say it one more time. The Holy Spirit wants me.
The Holy Spirit wants me.
One more time. The Holy Spirit wants me.
The Holy Spirit wants me. Yeah.
He wants you. He wants to possess you. He wants his strength to be your strength. He wants his sight to be your sight. He wants his emotions to be your emotions. He wants his mind to be your mind. He wants his feet to be your feet. He wants his hand to be your hand. He wants to be he that fuels your existence and your expressions. He wants to characterize you so that your character is the totality of him. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He wants you to be his presence. Do you know what presence means? There can't be presence without presence. When we say the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, the presence of God is here, we are not saying a feeling of God is here. What it literally means is that God is here. Presence means present. That's what it means. English people, right? Presence means present. To be present means you are present. Let's say we are in school and we are marking the register. John Kweku Akache. Present, sir. It means he's present. Because he's present, his presence is here. Kofi Domovo. Absent. Why? Because his person is not in the room. Yes, his person is not in the room. So when we say the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, what we actually mean is that the Holy Spirit is the person of God that is present with us. He is the person of God that is what? Present with us. So he wants his presence to be in us. He is the person of God that wants to be present with us, one with us, in us such that will be his presence on earth. So much that wherever we are, he is. Because he's one with us. His person is in us. And we are the expression of his person. So if we enter that church, the presence of the Holy Spirit has come there. Oh, as we stand here, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Oh, yes, he's here. But you see, sometimes what we look for is the power. Meanwhile, what he gave us is the presence. But even the power, it's not consistent per se, in the sense that the power doesn't express itself in the same way. So maybe today you feel the power by shaking. But maybe tomorrow you feel the power by having a sound mind. But because you are not feeling the shaking, you say the power is not. And because the power expression is not the same, you say the Holy Spirit is not there. Right? His presence is always with you. But it can be that it's not every time his power is expressed. So you have to understand the difference between his presence and his power. But if he wants a relationship with you, he's a person and has to be built on trust, then sometimes he will intentionally withhold his power so that your trust, your confidence is not in the experience of his power, but is in what? His person. It's in the assurance of his person with you, not the experience of his power. So that like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though you don't see God giving you the blessings, you still believe that he's with you and you are with him. You still trust him. Your investment should be in his person, not his power. And that is based on understanding. That is based on realization of the reality and the understanding it produces. And if you get a realization of the reality that you are made one with him, and it produces the understanding that he is always with you. If he's not with you, then you have lost yourself. So first you can feel yourself. You have self-awareness, self-consciousness. He's with you. Because he's one spirit with you. One with you. Do you understand that? It's in the Bible. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So wherever you are one with him. As Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You are one with him. You are in him, he's in you. Everything in the spirit is easy. It's understanding this. Oh yes. Why is I standing? I believe I'm anointed. It's a fact. If it's not so, then this is a lie. This. So the reality, the realization of the reality, the understanding produced now causes you to live in a way that releases the consequence of that. And that is the power. So the power is to follow the presence or the person. That's the protocol Jesus gave. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word when from the original, in the coming of the Holy Spirit upon you, you shall receive power. So the power comes in the person. Where the person is present, you can find the power. So our focus should be on the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we will always find the power to witness. Yes, we'll be at a place where we don't need to wait for the power. We having the power will not be circumstantial. Maybe if I do this or I sing long enough, the power will come. No. But we take a place where we can cause, we can actually stir the power, produce the power, cause it to be. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to tell you. So it brings us to a place where we are not hesitant. What if, as I'm talking to you, I'm opening my mouth without thinking. What if the next time I open my mouth, words do not come out? No. It's impossible to even think like that. Like, I can't think like that. It's just about exercising my will if I want to talk. And the power of speech is put in action. Because I accept that I'm a person who can talk. So the realization of that reality and the understanding it produces causes me to act in a way that produces the power. You understand? So I have to come to the basics, the understanding of the Holy Spirit. His oneness with us. His affinity with us. Our affinity with him. Our kinship with him. Our oneness with him. How much he actually caused us to be because we are his dream. He craves for us. That realization of that reality will bring us to a place of understanding, which will cause us to live in a way that we will release his power. So that will be a church where there's not a single person of us who will say, I'm not anointed. No. How? I'm one with the Holy Spirit and I'm not anointed. How can it be? He's the person of God. That person of God is the expression of the power of God, such that even Jesus Christ, who is God, needed the Holy Spirit. For he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So the power of preaching, recovery of sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted, the power of healing, the power of recovery, all these are powers in the Holy Spirit. Such that if Jesus will express these powers, the person of the Spirit must be upon him. So it is impossible to have the Holy Spirit one with you and say that you have his person, but you don't have the power yet. Are you following?
Yes.
Say, Holy Spirit, reprogram me.
Holy Spirit, reprogram me.
If this thing I'm telling you is powerful than laying on of hands. Because if even hands are laid on you to receive a gift, because gifts, which is abilities of grace in the Spirit, his abilities can be activated in you. His abilities can be transferred to you. Through the laying of hands, Paul said, the gift that was transferred to you through the laying of hands. Mm-hmm. If even that is done and you don't have these realizations, a time will come, you will drop it. Yeah. Yeah. If you have these realizations, there is no way you'll be in your room and in the corner, it's like you are seeing a shadow and you'll be afraid. Oh, how can you be afraid? I don't know if you get me.
Yeah.
No. Oh, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Say, I'm full of power.
I am full of power.
I am full of glory.
Because
I'm fully one with the Holy Spirit.
Who is the spirit of power?
Who is the spirit of glory?
And he wants me.
And he craves for me.
And he craves for me.
The reason I'm telling you all this is that as this year our focus is to be effective witnesses, the resource for witnessing is the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But that resource, that power of the Holy Spirit, can be at home with us, can be a natural way of operation if we understand our place with the Holy Spirit, our destiny with the Holy Spirit, his place in our existence, and our place in his being. That's why I'm telling you this. Because a lot of us think that we are not Holy Spirit worthy. We have to do some things, get to a certain place before, like, so we are, one thing, if we'll be sincere, we are so discouraged about is life with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you that it is actually what you can easily have, what you can easily get. That's why I'm speaking this way to you. That actually from the onset, he's the reason why you exist. How will it be difficult for a spoon to be with a plate? Because the reason why the spoon exists is related to the plate. How can it be difficult to hear the Holy Spirit? How can it be difficult to have the Holy Spirit? How can it be difficult for the Holy Spirit to operate through you when he is the one who caused your existence? You exist for him. He craves for you. I am telling you, the Holy Spirit loves you. He craves for you. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, before we think about, you see, some of us think about the Holy Spirit, like, hey, don't go, do you ask for that Holy Spirit? Mikra, I don't know whether he's fire or he's wind or he's rain or he's water. Mikra, but that Holy Spirit, me, I'm afraid. No, I'm not holy enough. No, the Holy Spirit, no, I have to pray for long. Like, we have different ideas. And they all tend to put us far away from him. But I'm telling you, all these things are the deceptions of the enemy to rather put you away from that basic need, which is easy to get. He made you for him. He wired you like him. He craves for you. He loves you. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, I want you to think of him as someone who really loves you. Right now, in our community, as Christians, in this generation, our Holy Spirit connection is low. A lot of us don't know the Holy Spirit. A lot of us are actually frustrated even in how to relate to him. My father in the Lord, Dr. Joe, said one day he was there and the Lord told him, the average Holy Spirit consciousness of the believer is low. Average Holy Spirit consciousness. Say, average Holy Spirit consciousness.
Average Holy Spirit consciousness.
It means being conscious of the Holy Spirit, even at average measure, is so low. For some of you, since the year started, it is me speaking like this that you are beginning to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. But it shouldn't be. You are conscious that you owe fees, your salary has not been paid on time, Mama wants to be president again, Akufo-Addo, this man, you are conscious of a lot of things, your fingernails, but the Holy Spirit, if you don't allow God to work this strongly in you, after we close, after 10 minutes, it's like the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. The reason for this, all this sense of not worthy, I can't have the Holy Spirit cannot use me, and I'm not worthy, and you are not aware of him, you are not conscious of him, and you don't relate to him, you don't talk to him, is because we don't think of him as someone who loves us. I won't say that we think that he doesn't love us. I won't say that. But I'll say that we don't think of him as someone who really loves us. Do you know why? Because there is a principle that if you love God, if you love anything in God, it is because you've realized that he loves you. Is that not what 1 John chapter 4, I think verse 19 says? We love him because we love him because he first loved us. I think 1 John 4:19. Let's check and be sure. We love him because he first loved us. That's the principle. So 1 John again says, if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So if you want to not love the world, let the love of the Father for you be strong in you. And naturally, nothing about the world will attract you. If you want to love God, realize how much he loves you. It will produce a love in you for him. Because we are made to have what we call reciprocal love. Reciprocity. We reciprocate love to God. We are not initiators of love to God. You can't initiate love to God. It's a lie. And that's what we are trying to do. Like you'll be there. You'll be there. You'll be bad. You'll sin. You'll be truant. You'll not care. You'll backslide. Then all of a sudden you get up and say that tomorrow you say that you have all the love in the world for God because you chose that I've stopped backsliding, I've come back. It's impossible. You can't initiate love to God. If you want to come back, rather realize that you are a being made to have reciprocal love. And if you can reciprocate something, it's because it is first given to you. This mystery, I was shown it early. And if I didn't have that, I won't be here. Because we're all in the same world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The struggle someone struggled that the person doesn't love God like that again, we've all seen some. But the difference is that I knew how to grow in love with God. It is that if you want your love for God to increase, it's never automatic. It's not based on your decision, I choose to. It is based on the fact that you have seen how much he loves you. So I can go on a diet of the Lord's love for me for 7 days, for a whole 1 month, 31, every day I'm hearing messages, reading, doing personal Bible studies on how much he loves me. And before I realize, my love for him has increased. That's how it happens. We love him because he first loved us. So if we don't approach or set up our work with the Holy Spirit in this way, we have a lot of people in our churches neglecting the Holy Spirit. We can shout. How do we even shout? We don't even talk about him. So I don't know what word to use. All that we hear is when he will come, Holy Spirit, I love you. Oh, let us sing. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit. So you wonder, should I wear a white suit like him? Or maybe if I was an Arab like him, you don't know, I should sing songs like that. Thou art well. You don't know. You know? Yeah. So I'm giving you a body of understanding that will help you to be consistent in building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it begins with the realization that he loves you. He's your lover. He's your first lover. I'm telling you the truth. The soft spot he has for you, you have no idea. He loves you. He loves you. That's why he craves to be in you. He craves to be one with you because he loves you. No one loves me. No one wants me. No, it's a lie. It's a lie. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants you. He craves for you. He wants to be one with you so much that even when we sin, we fail. His love for us is what made Jesus Christ to come and die for us. I'm telling you. He wants us so bad. He wants us so much. He can't live without us, such that now we are fallen. Sin has come into us, and he can't cohabit with sin. So what happens is that he can't give up on us. He craves for us. He longs for us. So now, whatever it will take for him to have us back, it must be done. And it will take the life of Jesus Christ. That's what they did. That is why when you believe, after the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So after man fell, you see, he was around. He was around because the people he was made for, he was searching for them. He never left the earth. Akolai, koma, lavili vahakoske, palo, liki, believe it. Believe it. He's your lover. You don't know how crazy he is about you. Ever since the fall of man, he has never left man. Never. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Right on earth, he was amongst men. Help him. Let me just use the history of the Israelites to show you. Is it Isaiah chapter 63? Let's read from verse 7 to 8. Please be fast with the scriptures for me. Isaiah chapter 63. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Please go on. In all the affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Have you seen the Holy Spirit? This is when the Israelites were roaming in the wilderness, and when they were in Egypt, the Holy Spirit was amongst them. The Holy Spirit was with them. He's the one called the angel of his presence who saved them. And he did that in his love for them and his compassion on them and redeemed them. So the one who really brought the Israelites out of Egypt through Moses is the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, it is true. He's that pillar of cloud. Yeah, and that pillar of fire. If you watch the Moses movies, forget picturing what they show. It is the Holy Spirit in physical manifestation. Oh yes, I think it's Exodus chapter 14, verse 9 or 19. Let's check that. If I'm remembering right. Exodus 14 or Exodus 4. Exodus 14. Exodus 14. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Go on. And they said unto Moses, because of this grave, go on. I think verse 19. Please go verse 19. And the angel of God, I've already shown you who he is, the Holy Spirit, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And he explained what he meant by went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So you see, the pillar of cloud is the Spirit. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and a darkness to them, the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one come not nigh the other all night. That's the Holy Spirit. This is when man had fallen, this is on their way, he knew though a time will come very soon they'll raise a golden calf. He knew, but he was still with them, saving them because what? He loved them. This is knowing the Holy Spirit. That's how you must think of him. That is the Holy Spirit. He is another Jesus. He is the one who started loving men on earth demonstratively before Jesus Christ came to die. He never left the earth when man fell. Even before man came to the earth, he came to the earth first before man. Oh, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And after he created, something happened. And this heaven and earth he created not to be empty, but to be perfect, became empty and void. And what happened? The Spirit didn't neglect it. And the Spirit of the Lord was brooding over the surface of the deep, the chaotic mass. And God said, and then the word came, light be. God himself entered the darkness and said, light. He was announcing, light has come. He didn't create light. He was announcing. In the original Hebrew renderings, light is. That's what it is. Light is. He announced himself into the darkness. Light is. And there was light. He was on earth waiting for you. Ora kebo sariko, rokima haraste. The most neglected person ever has been him. Yet no one has loved men like him. Jesus has suffered, yes, by the sufferings of the Holy Spirit, we'll see it in eternity. And since then, he has been around. When man fell, he didn't leave them. He was with the Israelites. He didn't leave them. He was with them. Some of you think the Holy Spirit will leave you. Some of you even think the Holy Spirit has left you. How then are you sitting here? So you think you are empty walking around? No, it's not true. It's not true. The Holy Spirit doesn't delight in leaving people like that, as if it is the best way to punish men. I will leave you. No. See. Let me show you something. It is recorded in the Bible that the Holy Spirit left the temple. He didn't leave the Israelites, so he left the temple. It means a certain dimension of his expression, he withdrew it, but he was still with the Israelites. Because if you leave them, he would have left them after they did the golden calf. But let me show you, even when he withdrew that dimension of his expression, which is his glory, he located in the temple. When he was even withdrawing that, he didn't do it with excitement, and he didn't do it with haste. Let me show you. Ezekiel chapter 10. And then Ezekiel chapter 11. These are the two chapters that record the Holy Spirit departing. But in Ezekiel chapter 10, let's look at verse 4. And then we'll look at verse 8. Verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. That's the Holy Spirit. In his manifest glory. This is how he was living. He went to where? The threshold of the house. If you had a modern translation, you understand what the threshold of the house means. If you go. Yeah, but he came to stand at the threshold of the house. Then verse 8. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house. So you see, it was at the threshold of the house. He departed from the threshold of the house and came and stood over what? The cherubims. You see, the way he doesn't want to go. It pains him he's going. So even when he is going, he's lingering. You see that thing? Like, it is because of love. Love. You see, love gives you slow feet to depart from the one you love. But guilt gives you slow feet to run to the one that loves you. So the prodigal son, guilt gave him slow feet to run to the father that loved him. But the Holy Spirit, Love gave him slow feet to run from the one that he loves. It's like that thing you have been doing with your boyfriend and girlfriend. When even that is not really proper love, it is chemical reactions in your body making you have something called butterflies, which is similar to when you are coming to run, running stomach is coming to. So how is it different? Or when you are going for an interview, you sweat in your palm because you are anxious. And then you are sweating in your palm. So that also is anxiety, but that one you call it love. Anyway, anyhow. You see that one? So that ukojan woni fia, ukojan iria, bekasasa, kwe, kwe, oh dear, I mean koja kakra. Now, onosa koja woni ufie. You see? And she has a mujam hosa front and back. Then the decision is what? Let's come to the middle of the road. You go. And we can worship it. Go ahead. Go. Or that Holy Spirit. How won't you want this man? I wish I wasn't here today. I'm telling you. I wish I was somewhere. If you all die, say it's Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, people who are quick to pray, they don't know fellowship. Like, pray like what you know, the mechanical ones, that is common. Heba, every day, heba. Like, whether they're alone or they're in public, staccato. Are you Nikenika? Nikenika and Ostia the same way. But if you know communion, Holy Spirit. And I remember Sonia Yamiao. That's why I like loneliness. It's because of the I want to find my place in the Holy Spirit. I want to find that's find. Obi Oda Chini say, why will you neglect him? Oda Dada. Even when you have done something bad, he can't redraw. When David said, take not your spirit from me, he was praying his presumption, not a doctrine. It was not a response from something God told him. He thought what he has done, the Holy Spirit will live. Because he's one of the few men in the Bible God put his spirit on in the Old Testament. But Onunko Bebia, Obekwan come mind in the first place. What he redraws is some of his expressions, which I'll explain to you later. But you see, he didn't want to go. Let's read chapter 11. All right. We have to seal it up. Ezekiel 11, verse 23. So now from the threshold to where? The cherubs. And the glory of the Lord went out from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Even Jesus, that's not how he ascended to heaven. So when he left the city, he didn't go. He went to stand on the mountain on the east of the city and he was still looking, hoping that maybe there'll be a repentance somewhere. But do you know why he departs? He doesn't depart because he's neglecting the people he loves. He departs because the people he loves don't want him. That is why David's prayer, God cried at him, because God doesn't answer to stupidity. But no, God doesn't answer to stupidity. Take not your spirit from me. Because David still wanted God. That's the difference between David and Saul. Saul didn't want God again. But Saul didn't go to take anyone's wife and kill the man. But David did. David did worse than Saul. But how God dealt with Saul and David were different. Because no matter what, David still wanted God. And no matter what you have done, so far as you still want God, God will be there. But when the people he loves are not making room for him, they don't want him again. The Holy Spirit is not someone who imposes himself on people, who imposes his will on people. So if you say you don't want him, you may say that you have, how do you say it? You may not say it with your mouth, but you say it with your choices. They were worshipping idols. They were giving their heart and their affection to other things apart from him. They don't want him again. He can't impose his will on them. He can't impose himself on them. That's what causes him to withdraw. You understand? Yes. Yes, that's what causes him to withdraw. But the fact that because you did something, you will see, I will show you. I'm going. The Holy Spirit doesn't divorce. That's why God says, I hate divorce. He hates. He didn't say, I don't like. He hates it. Because it paints a wrong picture of him. I'm leaving you. The Holy Spirit doesn't say that. At all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, never. And for us as believers, John chapter 14, I think verse 16 to verse 17, tells us that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will be with us forever. He'll be with us what?
Forever.
He'll be with us what?
Forever.
And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another Jesus, that he may abide with you forever. Who is that? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So in the Old Testament, he dwells with men. He has never left men. He loves men more than anyone. He has never left men. But after Jesus Christ paid the price, he will now be in man, because that is the reason why he came on earth for. But when we sinned, there was a legal hindrance. So Jesus Christ came to deal with that legal hindrance so that he can advance to be in us. You have a crazy lover, you have no idea. He waited for you before you came to the earth. As you go back home, he's waiting for you in your room before you get there. When you say that, I want to pray with the Holy Spirit, he's the one who prepared your heart to desire that. And wherever you go and pray, he knows he's waiting for you there. Oh, I'm telling you. He's so crazy in love with you. That's why he wants to be one with you. Because he loves you. You see, I've been saying one thing. That's the message. He loves you. And the progression, the protocol is this. You know him because he dwells with you and shall be what? In you. You can know him by he being with you, and you can know him by he being in you. He says that the world cannot receive him because the world does not see him. Neither does the world what? Know him. But you, do you know right now you are seeing the Holy Spirit? Oh yes. All I'm telling you are visions of the Holy Spirit. You are seeing him. Oh, Laiko. It is when you see him that you can know him. So now that you are seeing him, I'm telling him to you. He's being revealed to you. Based on that revelation, you can build a relationship with him. Upon this rock, Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The rock is the revelation. So in spiritual things, revelations are foundations, building blocks for building. And upon this rock I'll build my house. The house speaks of what? A habitation for community. So if you want community with the spiritual, with the spirit, go for revelation first. And the reason for revelation is to be a building block. So as you see him, this message, listen to it every day of the week. Before I realize you have entered into a fluid fellowship with the Spirit. You are knowing him experientially. He loves you. He precedes you. He preceded you on earth. He longs for you. He's craving for you. Why? Because he loves you. Whenever God chooses you, it's an indication that he loves you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 to 7 says, God did not choose you to set his love on you because you are bigger than anyone. You are actually the smallest. But he chose you because he loves you. So when the Holy Spirit chose to dwell in you, he chose to dwell in you not because you are perfect, not because he knew that you would never offend him. But because he what? He loves you. That's the reason why he loves you. He loves you because he loves you. Whatever you are chosen is an indication that he loves you. Chose to be one with you because he what? He loves you. He is your lover. And right now, he has made it legally impossible for him to leave you. Whenever there is a separation, it's not the one who left. You are the one who left. Whenever there is a disconnection, it's not the one who withdrew. You are the one who withdrew. Because you see, when he even left the Israelites, the temple, when he left the temple, it is the Israelites who left him first in their hearts. Oh, but he loves you. He craves for you. You are wanted. He wants you. You are wanted. You are his craving. You are his craving. Because you were made for him. He's your satisfaction. He's the peace you want. He's the joy you want. He's the power you want. He's the wisdom you want. You want to be satisfied in your work? When things hit rock bottom and we don't know what to do and the best business strategy to take, he is the one who talked to you. Do this and do it now. He is the satisfaction. And then it works and you are content. You see, he's the satisfaction. Believe it. He is all that you need. He's the only thing you need to be successful in your academics, to be successful in your marriage, to be successful in your work, to be successful in your ministry, to be successful in your health, to be successful in your relationships. It is him. It is him. He's your satisfaction. Make him your priority and strive to please him only. And you end up pleasing those he wants you to please. It's him. It's him. Don't seek for satisfaction in things, especially in human relations. If you are able to cross this hurdle, you can really have a good life with the Spirit. But I should say it softly. But there is the challenge. Jesus told the woman, it is not in marriage, it is in the water, is the Spirit. So that when you can get to the point, you see, I'm coming back to sacrifice again. I can't help. It gets to the point where you lose everything. You can't say that you are senior debut. You will be a man who will never say that you are senior debut. Because the reasons for existence on earth is not in anything that goes sour on earth. It's not in anything that goes sour on earth. Your reason is the Holy Spirit. The reason you wake up, the reason there is light in your eyes is the Holy Spirit. You can lose all the money overnight. Your boy, your girl can leave you tomorrow. You can lose a child. You may lose a home. Oh no. Oh no. Oh, it's true. I'm telling you, those things, they don't move me. Sometimes for the sake of human beings, I'll pretend. Oh no. You are not like that. Be like that. I'm like that. Let me be like that. Maybe it is a tuning for what is ahead. I don't know what is ahead. Maybe it's a tuning for my destiny. Oh, it's true. Maybe I'll be beaten for preaching the gospel somewhere and one of my eyes will gouge out, yet I'm not dead, and I'll lie there for 3 days before I die. Yeah. So far, dear sir, and I'm in family, dear sir. But you see, your heart must be out of anything. I'm talking about your heart as satisfaction, like a need. I need this. And if I don't get it, there's an emptiness in my life and I don't know what to do. Now we are seeing yet. It is a corrupt, fallen mindset, a decayed, depraved, deteriorating, very disgusting thing. You think it's a norm in life. It's a far cry away from the Holy Spirit. If I lose all that I may possess, I know that I still have the Spirit. I know that I still have the Spirit. I know that I still have the Lord. Do you know that song? You don't know. If I lose all that I may possess, I know that I still have the Spirit. As Mommy came, after that, over two more babies, Pesa. Man, I said, you pastor, you were saying that, and your heart is not in anything, and if you lose... It's a conditioning. It's a conditioning. You get what I'm saying? No, let not your heart be in those ones. Let the whole world turn their back on if need be. It doesn't make your life sad. And it will make you sad. Because actually, the only thing that was filling you and making you fall was the Holy Spirit. And He hasn't changed. The most important thing should be to you is, how is your life in the Spirit? And if it's not well, that's what you should strive for. If you get that well, everything will be well. Anything, any area in your life that's not gelling, is because that area, your relationship with the Holy Spirit relating to that area, is not good. It's as simple as that. It's the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's our satisfaction. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, He loves us. Loves us. I'm still connecting love to the Holy Spirit. I'm still building a strong image of love so that when you think Holy Spirit, all you see is love. When we talk about the love of God, the triune God loves us. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, they all love us. You must understand it in categories, categorically. It is this. The source of the love of God for us is the Father. John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world. The demonstration of the love of God for us, how this love the Father has for us, is demonstrated through the Son. Romans chapter 5, is it verse 8? Okay, let me check my note. Romans chapter 5, yeah, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. But God commended. The word, please give us NIV or some modern King James, you know. The word commended. One should because it commanded. Demonstrates. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in Christ, we see the demonstration of the love of God to us. So the source of divine love is the Father. The demonstration of divine love is what? The Son. But you see, this love is experienced in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the experience of the love of God for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So that love the Father has for us, which was demonstrated as Jesus Christ, it's experienced in our members. It's experienced in our emotions. It's felt. Arrives home. It's owned. We are connected to it. It's moved from theory, from preaching, to a reality in our bosom. That nourishes us and that flows through us, through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the experience of the love of God for us. Now, that means that you never know the love of God until you know the Holy Spirit. You don't. We can preach the gospel. We can explain how Jesus Christ was lashed. Like this Easter is coming, plenty messages. He was lashed and they'll show different pictures and how his skin peeled off. And how you can show all that and you can cry. Like when I was a Catholic in that Catholic church and we're showing the Jesus movie and we're all crying. It's good. At least it means you have some connection. But you don't know that love yet. Don't know that love yet. Because that love is only experienced as the Holy Spirit. That's why, listen, the best you can do as a response to all the suffering Jesus did is to take your life with the Holy Spirit World Cup. that you may know the love of God. The depth is in that you may be strong in a fellowship with the Spirit. You will do well. It's the Spirit. If you know anything in the Bible, anything in the kingdom, anything about the spiritual life more than the Holy Spirit, it's not the best. Rather, you should know the Holy Spirit more than everything. More than everything. And in knowing the Holy Spirit, you will at least be what you need to be in any other thing you need to be. Because if even you don't know all things, when the time comes that you need to provide the knowledge, the Spirit will that day, in that present moment, give you what you are to say. It's the Spirit. Right, Emmanuel? The Spirit. So your life is not like, I don't know how my life is going, I don't know where it's passing. No, we don't need to be thinking like that. Just stay with the Spirit. He will tell you, my son, as you fellowship with him, that I want you to go and do your master's in business. And when the Holy Spirit says it, he will direct you to people who will help you. So you see that we don't have a problem in life at all. We create the problems. It's just focus on the Holy Spirit. I don't have a desire to pray. It's fine. You don't have a desire to pray. Thank God that prayer is not the only way to talk to God. There is what is called fellowship. And it is in fellowship you can have prayer. And our generation, we don't understand that. We think it's all prayer. Yes, prayer is part of fellowship. But fellowship doesn't necessarily begin as prayer. Fellowship begins like, Holy Spirit, today I don't feel like praying at all. Today I don't feel you at all. Though pastor said, it's not about feeling. Pastor even gave an example that while he was preaching and he was standing in front of us, were we feeling him? Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me on your skin? Are you feeling me on your body? Are you feeling me on your hair? Why then do you want to feel the Holy Spirit before you believe the Holy Spirit is there? He's a person. He's there. We don't feel presence. Do you feel my presence? It's a wrong language. If you are worshiping, I'm in the office, do you feel my presence? We don't feel presence. I feel the Holy Spirit. No. You see, so we have become emotional. And when we don't feel that, yeah, Holy Spirit, oh, wait. And so we don't do the right action. If I lay my hands, no one will fall because I'm not feeling him. If I go and pray for that cripple, he may not work because I'm not feeling him. So he's not there. No. You don't feel persons. You feel power. You feel power. But the person is always there. So you tell him, I don't feel like praying. I don't. My mind is crowded. Is it crowded? Clouded. Clouded and crowded. At that point, what you are doing is fellowship. It's not prayer per se. You're not putting any request. Right? You get it? Because to pray is to make a request, is to ask, is to make a demand, is to decree. If you're not doing any of those things, it's not prayer. What you are doing is what? Fellowship. You call it conversations with God or with the Spirit. And it can be internal, inner conversation with the Spirit or verbal. Do that a lot. So that's where you start. Before I realize, you end up praying. Before I realize, you start speaking in tongues. But if you dare prayer time, you sit down, kabarabaka, you are fake. What you are doing, you are faking it. You are not. Right? Yeah, I've now remembered. So you see, no, also Diana will phone Ira. And Obiso Diana is who phone Ira. And also that I say, your phone got spoiled. If you have had dreams before, or people have had dreams about you before, I'm telling you what it means. Tell me if you have had such things before. Also Diana will phone at tones you. Also Diana will phone at say. Also Diana will be afraid of phones or kasa about one thing. Obisi, I catch what I said then. Now phone ahead then. Phone I say. Those things, any dream about phone, it represents your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yes. If you two, it's not a dream, small thing will phone and say, Small thing of four, I say. Small thing of four naira. Small thing of four. It represents your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's a communication tool. Yeah, it represents your communion life with the Holy Spirit. There's a problem. Either you easily lose it, no, or you easily allow something to spoil it, or you easily neglect it. That's what it means. Take it seriously. And to more motives and a message with a comma up, Oh, you serious? If you solve that area, you are done. And I'm trying to tell you that it's easy. It's not for, you don't have to be like Benihim before. Benihim cried, he started like Benihim. He didn't know anything. Like, he's there. He has been there since. Just tell him anything. Holy Spirit, don't you like my dress? Holy Spirit, this dress, when I was wearing it, I thought about it. I said, a dear combination, a way I don't like. So normally I wear the top with black right, but today I feel like wearing it like this. That's why I didn't wear tie, so that it won't be. Holy Spirit, is it nice? Oh, Inipa. I hope you are getting it. That's communication. That's fellowship. It's not prayer. It's fellowship. Into one vampire, that is why you look for other people to talk to. Rather, these things, you have to talk to God about that. Anytime you don't, it will lead to you sinning about that thing. Yeah, that was Eve's challenge. Whatever the devil told him, if Eve had waited when Jesus Christ came in the cool of the day, he had told Jesus, today, this is what happened though. The serpent came again. But the thing the serpent was telling me, the serpent was saying that if I eat this, we'll be like God and this thing, Jesus. That's what happened today, oh. Are you getting it? Then Jesus will say, this, that. It will never have happened. Like by now. In it is the greatest lesson. You see, this spiritual life is simple. Forget about how some people have made it. Bruhaha, bruhaha. No. There is room for everyone. Let's be like children. So this is how you have to pray. Like this evening. This is how you have to pray. You may not even pray, but you may just fellowship. Holy Spirit, today, it was a good day. I like the message Pastor preached. It really helped me. This is the area where it really helped me. Praise the Lord, I'm getting it. Especially this thing that Pastor said, Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, is it true? Is it true that you love me? Then me, I've not been really seeing it. Well, let me see it more. Help me. All the things that are distracting me, take them away. It's better than, Herabara, Herabara, Herabara. then you, it comes to your mind. God will understand. You know. The truth is that we have emphasized only this dimension to be a spiritual engagement. And if you can't do it for long hours, you are not there and you are not getting anywhere. And listen, then we say kokonyai. There is a fact in it. But you see, we should always remember we are nurturing people with the word of God. So if we skew it like that, a time will come, the more we say, the more we are losing people having spiritual engagement. Because you see, if it's not in fellowship, anything I want you on and on. Imagine you are having a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Will you yawn? You are telling him how, Holy Spirit, and I say, me bre pow, cow, the trot up and down. Holy Spirit, me do a juma krana. All the perfume has left. And I'm sweating. And man, when I get into the car, I feel uncomfortable. When you are talking to Holy Spirit about this, will you yawn? Will you think about forgetting about it and sleeping? No. So it tells you, we are not doing it well. Anytime you want to pray, you are yawning. So let's do more of conversation. It's called fellowship. Talk to him about anything and everything. Holy Spirit, just need a new wig. It will just make me feel good, like, especially the long one. And to one in the cast, and it may be turning into prayer. Oh, Jesus. Because you pray to Jesus and the Father. Or sometimes he will help you how to pray it. To be on Anna. Oh, Jesus, now I done a command. I declare in Jesus' name, I'm receiving a new wig. Now, yeah, easy. We are not on and out to uncommon also. Oh, Holy Spirit. Yeah. So you see, all the time you'll be looking forward to your conversations with him. It's natural. It's normal. That's how it used to be. This week I was dry. I was somewhere. Dry. All of a sudden, I talked. That talk, I was praying. Yeah, I was praying. Is it Friday? I was praying in the room on Saturday, praying the Holy Spirit, praying. Then I heard Pepe, so I checked. Papaya has sent some money. So Holy Spirit. Maybe young come on. Yeah, powerful. It was Friday, right? Holy Spirit, yeah, kapa kapo, kaleka, toka. Yeah. So anything that comes up, use it. So there's nothing I can talk about with the Holy Spirit. The more you talk to him, the more you also make room for him to talk to you. Before I realize, he's talking to you even when you are eating. He said, talkative, Holy Spirit, on your silence, how? But you see, he's a strategic relationship expert. So if he really wants you in it, he will whet your appetite. He will keep quiet. You talk when he feels like you are losing interest because you are not having any feedback, then he may give you a vision, or he may let someone say a prophetic word that I saw you and you were strong in the spirit. Then he ginger you, conditioner. So when he sees that you are really into it, then he'll start talking to you. He is a talkative, Holy Spirit. Ja. And someone to you and we here, obekanina. Oh yes. He's like that. Obekanina. Oh yes. Oh yes. Hallelujah. So you see, that's fellowship with the Spirit. So today you'll be fellowshipping with him, right?
Yeah.
If your mother gives you a food today, it's not nice. The Holy Spirit. And meaning what happened. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he loves you. So how do you know he loves you? Number one, he wants you. Isn't it so? He wants you. Yeah. Let me give you the second reason why he loves you. He sees the beauty in you. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7 to 8. Isaiah 63, 7 to 8. We have been there before. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all that he has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and kindness. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their savior. Verse 9. So let's see the who he's talking about, who became their savior. In all their distress, affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So the one who was with them, who was redeeming them, saving them in his love, is the Holy Spirit. And he says that this Holy Spirit, go back to the verse 7 to 8. He says that this Holy Spirit, this is what he said, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. Or children, go back to the NIV, children that will be true to me. Children, there was a version we were reading before. The first one you projected before, the first one you projected. You said that will be true or something. Children that will not lie. It means they will be loyal to me. Isn't it so? Now, sincerely, this is before they did the golden calf, the idol. Yeah. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Now, is God omniscient?
Yes.
He means he knows all things, right?
Yeah.
So he knew they will build a golden calf.
Yes.
He knew Samson will come and follow Delilah.
Yes.
He knew all the sins they will be doing. He knew they will worship idols, Jezebel, Ahab. But he said, they are my people, children that will not lie, that will be loyal, that will be true. Is it true? You say, You see, it tells something about, it is said that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. Yeah. There is a song about Abraham. You know that song? Yeah. What's it? Father Abraham. No. No. I'll find that song. Maybe after close, when we close, they'll play it. It's like, you see, where I see failure, you see, the way God sees us, he sees us from the perspective of love. If you want to know someone loves you, you see from how the person sees you. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. You say, umpo biasama osakra nasanya ode enye ofe but umpo biasama obofem kra we say eyasa efe esta. Yeah, appreciate. So the Lord, he loves us so much that even in our mess, he sees our beauty. And that's what love does. Love focuses on the good in us. Love believes the best in us, even in the midst of the worst of us. And that's how Jesus relates to us. And he's not saying this without doing anything about what is not good about us. You understand? He does something good about what is not good about us, but he sees us in the light of the good that we are. He has our destiny. He knows how we'll be at the end. And then he says, these people, they'll worship idols, they'll follow Delilah, they'll follow Jezebel, all these things, but they are my children. They will be faithful. They are faithful to me. That's how the Holy Spirit talks about you. He sees the beauty in you. If he's to talk about you, it will shock you. You say, hey, sir, I'm not bad like that. The things he will say about you, it will shock you. Remember the Bible says that when we believers stand before the Bema seat, it says, then shall every man have the praise of him. You can find that and project it. Have the praise of him. It's in the New Testament. Then shall everyone have the praise of him. What it means is that when the Lord judges believers, he will praise every single believer. He says, then shall every man have the praise of him. That means that every believer has done something praiseworthy. You may say, what have I done for the Lord? There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good I've done for the Lord, and I'm wasting my life. But you see, and me, what kind of believer I am? Am I? Are you young? But there is something you've done for the Lord. He appreciates. That day, he will praise you for it. So stop condemning yourself. Me, anytime I pick my Bible and I'm sleeping, even I can't even read one chapter. And me, when I'm praying, cry, I'm yawning. So me cry, do I even love the Lord at all? Don't think of yourself like that. No. If you think of yourself like that, you'll never be better. The Holy Spirit doesn't think of you like that. Imagine you are going to make a golden calf very soon, yet he says, you are my children. Will be loyal to me. Therefore, I will save them. Therefore, I will go on with them because they are good people. So the Holy Spirit counts on his ability to transform you, to testify about who you really are. He doesn't count on you being consistent. He loves you. He sees the beauty in you. Yeah, this is the verse. Then shall every man have the praise of God. So there is something God will praise you for that day. So there is something good you have done for God, every believer. Because there is something good in every believer. He loves you. So you must see how he sees you. It will help you also feel secured with him and in him. We don't like being in the presence of people who sees us in a negative light. Isn't it so? It rather causes us to withdraw from such people. But when we realize that this person, he thinks we are good, he thinks we are the best, he sees us in a good light, we want to be around that person. And when we are around that person, we are ourselves and we are at peace and we are secured. So in building a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, one thing you have to realize as part of understanding that he loves you and he embraces you and he accepts you is that he sees the beauty in you. He sees the beauty in you. As for sin, he hates it. He hates sin. But you are not sin. Are you sin? So when you do something wrong, he hates it. But the you that he craved for to indwell, he still admires. So you have to know how to differentiate the sin you are not and the you that you are, he is one with, that he admires. And lastly, still in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9 to verse 10. So that when you sit down and ask yourself, those three loves me, what shows? I've given you three reasons, right? He craves for you. He wants to be one with you. He made you for him. Number two, he sees the beauty in you. And number three, he shares in your pain. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. See? He feels our pain. You are never alone. Say, I'm never alone.
I'm never alone.
No matter how much Liverpool is struggling, they are never alone. Never alone. See, no matter how much you are struggling, you are what? Never alone. Never say, I'm Ankonamda. So all these are thoughts that doesn't glorify God. Because we have taken the Holy Spirit out of the picture. He loves you so much that in all, not some of your affliction, in all your affliction, in all your distress, he is distressed with the same distress. You want a job. You are looking for a job. You've done everything. The job is not coming. And it makes you feel what? How do you feel? Come again. Oh, share your testimony. It makes you feel hopeless. That hopelessness you feel, he feels it too. Oh, yes. The Holy Spirit has never been hopeless. He is hope. He is the fullness of hope. But for your sake, feelings he has never known, now he knows them. That's what it means. Oh yes, he has never known depression. He has never known pain. He has never known insecurity, fear, anxiety. He has never known all those things. You have to see that side of how far he's willing to go for you, to have you and to win you and to be with you. All the afflictions are negative. Who can afflict God? Can you afflict God? What are you talking? But he loves you so much that negative emotions he has never known, that they can swell, they can never touch him, because his joy, how can joy know sorrow? It's impossible. But he becomes vulnerable because of you. You know, he allows those things to break him. The unbreakable, he just allows them to break him as much as they break you. So in areas where you are broken, you lost something, you lost a loved one, you are so broke, so devastated, he felt the devastation too. Yeah. What it makes it wonderful is that he has the ability not to feel them. That's why I'm stressing now. But for your sake, he allows himself to be afflicted by those afflictions, which cannot afflict him, but for your sake, he allows it. And he feels the same measure of emotion. And sometimes he feels them more than you. Because sometimes if the fullness comes upon you, it may break you to a point something about you will be lost. And at that point, because the thing has been triggered already and those things will come, he shoulders them. He takes the greater part. Like that man who was having a dream and he was seeing two footprints at the seashore. And at a point he was seeing only one footprint and he was saying, God, why have you left me? And later God told him, I didn't leave you. I was carrying you. So the footprint you see was my footprint. You were in my arms. Because at that point, you can't take it with a walking. So I have to shoulder it. That's the truth. That's the truth. He loves you beyond words. He loves you more than you can imagine. You feel like you were born to a poor family. And you have struggled. And there are times you have slept without eating. And no one seems to know your pain and how much it has affected your esteem. In all these afflictions, he has felt those ones to the minutest detail. He felt them with you. Where you cried, he cried. Yes. Because he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Your pain is his pain, so that his joy can be your joy. So whenever you are in distress, remember that and allow him to love you and talk to him about the Holy Spirit. I feel so depressed. You are feeling it too. It's because he's feeling, that's why he can help you. Talk to him about that. How does that feel? So what will do? What will we do about it? So realize that you are never in anything alone. Never. Human beings may not understand. He does. So stay with the one who does. Don't go looking for a new boyfriend. They all want sex, 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 sex. They can come like angel, but it's the sex they want. Don't go for a new boyfriend. Stick with the Holy Spirit and tell him. He's feeling it. He's feeling it. You have no idea. In all, say all, the affliction. He was afflicted. But the good news is that he'll go on to save you. He'll go on to save you. So allow him to love you. He's your number one lover. As we close, what are you to do? Will you stop such a good lover? Such a skillful lover? Do you have a reason to neglect him? But you have all the reason to what? To run to him. How do you do that? Just acknowledge him. You don't neglect someone who loves you. Just let him be there for you. Let him be there with you. Just be talking to him. Like I showed you. About everything, anything, anytime, anywhere. Talking to him. Isn't it beautiful? Will you do it? Will you do it?
Yes.
Then shout, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.